Welcome back in to Inside the Numbers, and it's time to bring Michael Weber, the president of Weber Mortgage, into the show because it's time for the Weber Mortgage Spotlight Game Preview. Of course, it's the national championship game Monday night here in Atlanta, Georgia, and Alabama. Michael, welcome into the show.
Boji, thanks as always. It was a tough choice what game we were going to cover this week, obviously, for the Weber Mortgage Spotlight. And if I've got one disappointment, it's the fact that our college football season's almost over.
It is. You know, just in a matter of 48 hours or so from now, we will be a little bit over 48 hours from now, be kicking that game off. And, of course, we'll crown a national champion at the end of that game. And then it's a long wait till August.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, I'm amazed at these people who track recruiting as closely as they do, because I have a day job that I have to earn a living at running Weber Mortgage. But I like to hear the tidbits about recruiting, but it's tough to be as mentally involved in that aspect of college football as it is during the season. So, you know, after Monday night's game, it'll kind of be a hiatus for me, and I'll just kind of hear the bits and pieces as we get recruiting updates through the media and the normal venues.
And you know, Michael, you mentioned recruiting, and recruiting is really going to change because this is the first year that we had the early signing period. So, you know, in reality, the major schools, they only have four or five slots that they can fill this coming first Wednesday in February. So it's kind of a unique situation. It's the first time we've ever dealt with this, and I'm wondering, again, you're going to cover recruiting no matter what, but I'm just wondering, is the buildup going to be a letdown, so to speak, simply because a lot of the big names have already signed, and some of the big names are actually on campus this week starting classes. They graduated from high school early.
Well, Coach, you can obviously speak to this a lot more than I can, but I feel like the recruiting system is broken, but I don't know how to fix it. I feel like there are ways, broken maybe not the right word, but I feel like it could be improved on. This is a step to try to make that improvement, I feel like, but I don't know the right way to make it better, but I just feel like there's a lot of pressure on a lot of people at the wrong times where recruiting is concerned, and I don't know how to make that better.
I'm in total agreement with you there. It's very difficult as a football coach to prepare your team, get ready during the week, and then also make time for recruiting. You know, that's why these coaches are working anywhere from 18 to 22 hours a day during the season, just trying to get prepared for Saturday, and then again having to make sure that your recruiting binder is up to date, because listen, and if you don't do it, then you're falling behind.
And I almost feel like it's the one thing that would push a college coach to the pros, because in the pros you've got entire staff and departments that are geared towards identifying talent and finding out who we need to fill gaps. And there's not as much, you know, courting in the process. So, you know, from a pro coaching standpoint, you get to focus more on the X's and O's of the day. I feel like if you're a college coach, you either probably enjoy the recruiting or you probably don't enjoy the recruiting. And there's probably not a whole lot in between.
You're exactly right about that, Michael. Well, let's move on to the game. We've got two SEC teams, of course, playing for the title. You've got the SEC champion Georgia, and then the West runner-up Alabama. Of course, Georgia in a classic Rose Bowl outlasted Oklahoma in double overtime. Clemson, of course, got there, had to go face Alabama again in what I really thought was a home environment, and Alabama got their revenge on the Tigers 24-6 in New Orleans. Michael, of course, you were sitting as part of that packed house down in the Superdome. Was it as electric in person early on as it seemed like on television?
It really was an incredible environment. It was a capacity crowd, of course, for a Sugar Bowl, and that was 73,000-75,000, something like that. And, you know, the Superdome, of course, is ancient, right? By today's standards, it's built in the 70s. And it's so big that I don't know that you get the same feeling that you might get in some of the other places but certainly it's indoors. The sound reverberates. You've got Clemson taking up roughly it really felt like, as opposed to years past, it felt like Alabama was maybe 60-40, 65-35 on the tickets to me, because as I sat and looked across at the Clemson side, I felt like I saw a lot more red mixed in with the orange than I did the orange mixed in with the red on our side. And I think it made a difference. I think that, you know, defensively, when Clemson was on the field, there was a lot more noise. When Clemson offensively was on the field and Alabama was defensively on the field, there was a lot more noise than the other way around. And, of course, that may be the best defensive performance we've seen out of Alabama since the 92 championship game against Miami. That was just a dominant football game by Alabama's defense.
And also, of course, now Nick Saban can get the monkey off of his back and say, yes, I have won a Sugar Bowl as the head coach of the Crimson Tide. Well, talking about Georgia and Alabama, the last time that these two teams met, Michael, was back in October of 15. And, of course, we remember that. That was the blackout game.
Yeah, and I think, you know, any time you try to gimmick up a game, you run the risk of it backfiring, especially with momentum. I didn't get to go to that game, but my brother was there, and he talked about how incredible it was to hear such a quiet crowd, you know, where the game was at Georgia. Obviously the Bulldogs were favored by a point, actually the last time that Bama was an underdog. And of course the Tide won that in a very convincing fashion, 38-10. Bama has won three straight over Georgia. They won in 08, they won in the 2012 SEC title game that I was at, and that was an unbelievable game to be at. And then 2015 in Athens. So there, even though these teams don't meet regularly, when they do meet, there tends to be a lot of fireworks.
That's right. The last time the Bulldogs beat Alabama, if my memory serves me correct, Matthew Stafford was a freshman quarterback, and they beat Alabama in Tuscaloosa. I think that game was in overtime, if my memory serves me correct. But, you know, I'm getting old, so that may be wrong. Now, listen, we can talk Nick Saban, Kirby Smart, and, you know, Jeremy Pruitt knows a lot about the Georgia program. He was there just a couple of years ago. You know, there is so much in this game that you could pick a storyline. But I think you go back to that 2012 SEC title game you mentioned. That game was a classic. Georgia got the lead in the fourth quarter. Alabama came back and took the lead on a long touchdown pass from A.J. McCarron to Amari Cooper with about a little under 4 minutes left. Georgia drives right back down the field. It looks like they're going in for a score. Very controversial after the fact decision by Mark Richt not to just down the ball, get in the huddle, call a play. They called a play at the line with the clock running. Georgia wide receiver Chris Conley, a ball is tipped his way, natural instincts. He catches it. He's tackled inbounds, and the game is over. And there's no doubt in my mind, Michael, that if Georgia wins that football game, they go on and they play Notre Dame in the Orange Bowl for the national championship. Mark Richt is probably still in Athens with a national championship trophy.
Absolutely. And, you know, that game felt a whole lot like the Oklahoma-Georgia game. I mean, it was just blow for blow. And you kind of felt like, hey, whoever's got the ball last is going to win, which is a lot of what I was anticipating from the Alabama-Clemson game, which turned out obviously completely different. So I kind of feel like in this game coming up, the type of game we see may determine who wins it. If we see a blow-for-blow game, I feel like that falls a little bit more in Georgia's wheelhouse than it does in Alabama's. And if we see a game that is not blow for blow and that one team is able to dominate the other, or at least to control, you know, the momentum of the game, I feel like that works in Alabama's favor. And I don't think there's a lot of gray area in between. I think if it becomes a shootout, I don't know that I'm impressed enough with Jalen Hurts' ability to connect on downfield passes to stay in a shootout. And I don't know that in a game that is you know, one side is going to dominate. I don't feel like Georgia has the ability to dominate an Alabama team, where Alabama obviously showed us, at least defensively, I mean, to hold Clemson to 100 yards, that's incredible. So you wouldn't expect to see that in this game, but we certainly know that at least one of these teams has the potential to dominate that game.
Michael, we're going to get your prediction on the game in just a minute. But first of all, let's tell the folks about Weber Mortgage. And no matter where you're listening to the show on one of our affiliates from coast to coast, or you're listening to it over our website, GameDaySportsRadio.com, Weber Mortgage can help you. Michael, tell the folks how they can get in touch with you. And right now, again, going into 2018, it's still a great time to get a new mortgage or a refi.
It is, Boji, and most of the experts expect interest rates to drift up into the mid-4s. When you look at the national predictions, you see anywhere from the average for 2018 being between 4.4% on 30-year money up to about 4.6%. And with that being the average, that tells you that by the end of the year, they think it'll be above that. So we really feel like we'll see interest rate movement this year. The markets are so strong, the economies are so strong. Don't put it off. If you're thinking about buying, the spring is going to be a fantastic time to buy. Right now is a fantastic time to buy. You're just coming out of the holidays. A lot of people that wanted to sell their house have waited through the holidays, and they're going to be motivated because they're going to be ready to move. So if you're thinking about buying, now's the time to do it. If you haven't refinanced, maybe you're thinking about selling, but you've changed your mind, or you need to get some cash to cover all this debt that you just ran up to buy the kids all their Christmas presents, or to go to the Sugar Bowl, or maybe you're paying $2,600 a ticket for a national championship game ticket. You're probably going to need to do a cash out refinance to fund that purchase. So now's a perfect time to do it. We would love to help anybody who's listening to us right now, and they can reach us on the telephone with our Alabama number, 205-823-6701. They can reach us through the website, www.webermortgage.com. Then, of course, they can reach us through Game Day Sports Radio as well. But we've got affiliates all over the country, so we can help people anywhere they're at, Coach.
Right. No matter, of course, you're based in Alabama, you're going to write mortgages in Alabama. But, again, no matter where you're listening to us throughout the country, Weber Mortgage has a great network, and they'll put you in touch with someone in your area that's going to give you the same type personalized service. All right, Michael, listen, this game to me pulls down to one thing, and that is if Jake Fromm, the freshman, if they can find a way to stretch Alabama's defense and make Alabama bring Alabama controls the run with six players. It's phenomenal. They're two gapping up front with their defensive linemen. Linebackers are just running free. Again, they're stopping you with six players on the run, and they've got enough coverage in the back that with these two high safeties that nobody tries to stretch them. Nobody takes the time to do play action, get back, and throw it deep. If Jake Fromm, if he can't do that, Alabama, in my opinion, wins going away. If he can stretch the field a little bit, make Alabama respect what's going on, then guess what? Now all of a sudden, then I think Chubb, Sony Michel, and DeAndre Swift, they have a chance to make some big plays in the run game. But I think it all boils down to if Georgia can make Alabama defend the entire field, and the only way they're going to be able to do that is by stretching the field. Again, I look for Alabama. I look for Alabama to be able to take care of them defensively, but that's Georgia's only chance, in my opinion.
I think you are spot on with that analysis, Boji. And in a year where the SEC is down, to have an all-SEC final is just, I mean, just incredibly impressive. And obviously, you don't have to worry about anybody being mad at the committee about putting Alabama in instead of Ohio State. So they're breathing a little bit easier in this game. You know, the real question I have for you or for people to think about in relation to this past weekend versus – or this past Monday versus this Monday, was Clemson not able to stretch the field because they didn't have the ability to throw the downfield pass, or did Alabama's pass rush, which kind of came out of nowhere because they really haven't had a fantastic pass rush this year, was that pass rush prohibiting them from having enough time to stretch the field? So you're right. Can Jake Fromm stretch that field and open up, soften up the linebacking core a little bit and give their runners space, but is he even going to have the time to do that? Is Alabama's defensive front so strong that I mean, he's not going to have the time. And that's the real question. I agree with you 100%. That's the key. But I don't think Fromm is the key so much, in my opinion, as the defensive front of Alabama versus the offensive front of Georgia, because I don't think you could blame Clemson's quarterback. I think the loss in that game came from the fact that he barely had time to look up from the snap before he was under pressure. So, in the end, I think this is going to be a good game, and it's really a matter of which Alabama defense shows up. I feel like if they're able to replicate their performance from this past Monday night, I really don't feel like Georgia's got much of a chance. I think Bama probably wins the game. But I don't think offensively Alabama's going to put up a bunch of points. So I'm going to say Alabama probably wins this game 31-24.
I can see that. I really think that Alabama's defense and it may not be from just an overall talent standpoint, the best that Saban's ever had at Alabama. But as far as – and again, last year's defense was phenomenal at creating non-offensive touchdowns, defensive touchdowns, and they've only got a couple this year. But the thing that impresses me about this year's defense is that when they need a big play, they make a big play. And I think that's what we've got to look for on Monday night in Mercedes-Benz Stadium, is we've got to those crucial times in the game. Coach Bryant always used to say, there's only two or three plays that win or loses a football game. And I think when we look back after the game, we're going to find those two or three plays, and we're going to say, hey, was Georgia able to make those plays? And I think it's going to come down to the Georgia offense. Was Georgia offense able to make those plays, or was the Alabama defense able to make those plays? That's what I think that we're going to have to – when we look back at the game, I think that's what's going to be the determining factor.
Either way, I expect it to be a great game, Bogey, and I think from a national championship game standpoint, I tell you what, any of those four teams, I think, in this game would have produced a fantastic game. And as an Alabama fan, I worry about Georgia's resilience in that Oklahoma game. I'll be honest with you, sitting there watching it at halftime, I felt like that game was over. Even with the long field goal, I thought, Georgia cannot stop Baker Mayfield. This guy is impressive. And I think being down 17 points – and winning that is going to give Georgia every bit as much confidence as Alabama is going to have. So this may be – I mean, we could be in for one of the best national championship games we've seen in my lifetime.
I am in agreement with you there, Michael. Michael, as always, thanks for being with us. If you're trying to reach Weber Mortgage, you want to get a brand-new mortgage, you want to do a refi, go to the GameDaySportsRadio.com website, follow the Weber Mortgage link, or, Michael, give them the telephone number once more.
Absolutely. Just call us at 205-823-6701. Thanks, Bogey. It's been a great season, and we've really enjoyed spending the time with y'all.
We appreciate you every week doing it, Michael. Thank you so much, and we'll talk to you soon. All right, that's Michael Weber, president of Weber Mortgage. We'll be right back inside the numbers.
Picking college football winners every time isn't easy, but picking the right mortgage company is. Weber Mortgage has been helping people buy homes since 1999. Literally thousands of people are living in their dream homes with the help of Weber Mortgage. I'm Michael Weber, and using Weber Mortgage is a sure bet. If you're thinking about buying a home this year, call 205-823-6701 or visit us at webermortgage.com. That's 205-823-6701 for Weber Mortgage.
You're listening to Inside the Numbers with Bogey Wood. Catch a replay of this show at GameDaySportsRadio.com. Hear interviews with coaches as well as current and former players, plus previews and breakdowns of this week's NFL and college football games. It's all at GameDaySportsRadio.com. That's GameDaySportsRadio.com.